You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
9:35 Central African Time, coming to you live from the studios there at Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Good education is a cause for refine disposition. You always read the dua, Rabbi Zidni Ilma, so Allah increase me knowledge. Why do you do this? The knowledge is so important. Imam Ghazali Rahimullah said that knowledge is that you acquire, the knowledge that you practice, that's the knowledge will take you higher and higher, and as you get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the darja you'll get in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you have that powerful knowledge, you become a powerful entity, and knowledge is power, people. Knowledge gives you light, knowledge gives you focus, knowledge gives you vision. Yeah, and that vision, alhamdulillah, looking at the As-Salam Institute, founded by Sheikh Didat Rahimullah, that institute has achieved a 100% pass rate, and the beauty is that one of the educators of that institute is our very own Abu Bakr Mtenje. He's an alim, he's an educator. Let's welcome him onto the platform, the Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, with a hearty assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sheikh Abu Bakr, how are you this fine, beautiful evening?
Alhamdulillah, yourself, and also I'd like to extend my salam to the listeners as well.
Yes, Sheikh Abu Bakr, you know, before we talk about a wonderful achievement of the As-Salam Institute, talk to us about your time at Darul Ulum Newcastle under, Mufti A.K. Hussein. How was your time then, Sheikh Abu Bakr?
That's where you growing up, you still don't know where you're going and still confused. But the time I spent in Newcastle, it was like an eye-opener, you know. And the good thing that happened in Newcastle, that you're different islands from different backgrounds. It's like the likes of Mufti A.K. Hussein. He studied in Pakistan and other places, and we had also Mawlana Sema studied in India, and had Mawlana Akram, and there were other shows, so we studied also other parts of the Arab world. So, and also the other thing is that was my first time being in an institute where you have people from different countries, like we had more than 20 different nations in the same place. So you find that that experience itself, it opens up and you get to know Islam from different people, and you get to know that, you know what, in Islam is not just a particular group of people, but there's so many people from different backgrounds, different nationalities. Yeah, so that was very, because prior to that I was in Zimbabwe. I was born in Zimbabwe, and we went to Accra. That is that's the most prominent Islamic institute we have in Zimbabwe. That was founded by the father of Maulana Musa Menk. So you find that mostly it was all the Zimbabweans, and the teachers, majority of them were Zimbabweans, you know. But coming to Newcastle, it opens the whole world is opening up, going to a foreign country, and they got different authority there from different backgrounds. So that was, yeah, and having the giant of the likes of Mufti A.K., yeah, that was, it's something you can't even quantify how much you learned being in that particular institute.
Alhamdulillah, yes, Sheikh. You know, Abu Bakr, Mufti A.K. Hussein, wonderful, wonderful indeed. You know, we've been very close, and he's someone that's guided me through my broadcasting history and career, and I'm very indebted to him. But, looking at the achievement that your institute has pulled off, during the pandemic, during testing times, and also it's quite emotional for me, because I was a Sheikh Didat Rahimullah's editor, Mufti A.K. Hussein, too, also very close to Sheikh Didat, and also the late Yusuf Didat Rahimullah. As-Salam always achieving, Sheikh Abu Bakr. What is the reason for them being, an achieving institute?
There's quite a variety of factors that has contributed to this kind of achievement. And I always say that in education, once you have the the golden triangle right, then you achieve a lot. So the golden triangle is made of the learner, the parent, and the educator. So now, when you have, when all these three are communicating, should be any problem comes up, you as the educator, you visit the parent. You know what, I'm having a problem with your child. Is they having difficulties with X, Y, Z? How can you resolve this issue? So, because you see what happens, most of the time there's always a tendency when a learner does something wrong. What do? You call for the parent to come to school. But sometimes, you know, it's important for the educators outside to go home and visit the family. Okay, especially where we are salami situated, you know, that's a rural area. That and what happens is it's very, you know, we have a very good relationship with the community, you know. So anytime should we explain any problems, you actually, we go to the communities and speak to the families of that particular child. And now, going back to what made us achieve what we achieved, some of the factors were, you see, we had COVID, right? And there was lockdown level 5, and what happened is there were no movements allowed. And being an independent school at As Salaam, we actually, you know what I was doing during the holidays? The teacher would email me the material, and I'll go to the office, print the material, put them in different grades. You know, I carry the register, I go into my Shatini, you know, having stocks and distributing material to the learners, you know, so that they can do work at home. Because, you know, it's rural. We don't have the luxury of internet, and that's more for affluent people. We can't afford that, people in the rural areas. So we actually literally physically printed material, get into van, drive around my Shatini giving the learners. And after 1 week, I'd go back and collect the material and give it to the teachers for marking. So it was like that, back and forth, to make sure that the learners are learning. And also the other factors, see, as soon as the department allowed us to open our schools, we immediately split FET, your grade 10, 11, and 12. All those learners, they stay in the premises, they are boarders. So now we had extra classes, especially your after-school program. That's very important then, because you get to fill up the gaps. It gives you the chance to more or less to make stronger what the, like Mufti AK used to tell us, must always make the Quran all the time, must always make Mopala. So when you're staying in the premises, you get to do that, and you go to monitor. And also some of the factors, you know, I was reading some article on Facebook saying that the top 10, the best performing schools in SA, six of them are Muslim schools. So it tells you something, that something what the Muslims are doing. And some of it, I call it Salah discipline, you know. You see, when you plan your events, when you plan your day, when you plan your program around Salah, it makes things very easy. Like, for example, we just said, okay, after Fajr, we got half an hour of reading Quran and Azkar. Then after that, we have 1 hour of, well, preparation, doing revision, you know, personal study. You know, then after Dhuhr, you go to your school program running. After Asr, it's a free time. And then maybe after Maghrib, that is your madrasa. And after Isha, 2 hours after Isha, you're focusing on your homework, focus on your personal study, you know. So you find that your entire program is all planned around Salah. So that itself, it gives you some kind of a discipline. And most of the time, you know, we have quite a good number of non-Muslims coming to As Salaam. And when the parents speak to me, I said, you know what, there's a chance that your child may be become a Muslim, are you okay with it? Oh, no, I'm very much okay. Because they've seen, you know, the kind of system that we have. Even when you have other educators, when they come to our school, they ask you, they ask us, hey, how is the discipline in the school here? I mean, just walking, you've been to As-Salaam so many times. Just walking when you see the learners in the class, you can see that these are very disciplined learners. And a lot of teachers admire that. A lot of parents admire that. And they all want to bring, especially today, after, because the news that we got 100% pass. Believe me, we have a lot of requests, people requesting to bring their learners into our institute. And also, as you know, that Ahmad Didat, we put established this center for the sake of Dawah. And believe me, a lot of learners come here as non-Muslims. Some, they accept Islam, and obviously others, they got to know what Islam is all about, because at the end of the day, we just give the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that what? Give the hidayah that makes the people Muslims. So this is some of the things that that helps us to make sure that the learners are always performing at that level. So the issue of the dormitory, that is also, I said earlier on, that is one of the advantages we have. Because all the grade 10 learners, the grade 11, the grade 12, everybody stays in. Nobody stays outside. So we have afternoon, after-school programs. We have the weekend program. These learners are only free on Sundays, but from Monday to Saturday, they're very much occupied. And we're doing our Islamiyat, and also we're doing this Dawah taking place, and also this work education. Because if you look at it, if you look at the missionaries when they came to Africa, the first thing they did was establishment of schools and clinics, so they knew that there's going to be people coming to get to look for education, there's going to be people coming for medical assistance. So they use that as a tool to attract people to come to their senses. Like I always keep on saying that we need to have more schools like As-Salaam, we need to have more schools like Emmy Motala's and all this kind of, so that we can have access. You see, not everybody that's going to come to the institute become Muslim. But there's going to be some kind of influence. That particular person, when people attack the class, you know what, I was in a Muslim school for 5 years. I never saw any kind of violence. You guys are talking about, these are peaceful people. This is what we need. You see, indoctrination is very important, especially like As-Salaam, one of the things that we like to do, we promote teacher training. And that we want to have at least every government school should have at least few or one Muslim teacher, so that when anything comes about, any issues about Islam comes around, you know, there's somebody you can always go to and ask questions about Islam. If I had the powers, I would have made sure that, because you see, I'm a graduate of Darul, right? And when I finished I did education. So I'm also a qualified teacher. So I think also we need to have most of our alums that are graduating, if there's a way get these people get the teacher's degrees and get them in the government schools. And we may not get it right, but at least there is a Muslim guy, there is somebody Muslim that they can talk to when there's something about Islam comes up. Because people are going to get the information about Islam from the news, from the television, and you know what kind of information they get from the television. They will get information from Mr. Google. You know what kind of information they're going to get from Mr. Google. So at least when you have a lot of our ulamas graduating as also teachers, and I mean the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a teacher. You know, so we need also to revive that sunnah of teaching. Although we don't need that paper, you know, to be, but it's a requirement in this country, you know, that for you to teach and to maybe perhaps get a job in the government, so you need to have the paper so that you get your space and also be able to give the knowledge about Islam and also teaching at the same time. So these are some of the things I just mentioned that we have a very very good support system, you know, in the school to make sure that the learners perform at the best level. And you see, previously, what used to happen before is when a child is not performing or a child got bad results, send him to Asylum. When a child is weak, send him to Asylum. So we have changed that narrative. So we shouldn't be using our centers as a place of sending people that are not that are mischievous. So we always say, you know, at least have some good math for you to do, so that we know that we have something to work on, you know. So yeah, so what has been happening. So alhamdulillah, last year, 2019, was the first matric, was also 100%. And also this year, our second matric also, it's also 100%. So hopefully that we will maintain that, you know, because that's a challenge. I was actually speaking to the matriculants of this year, 2021. You know what, guys, 2019 delivered, 2020 delivered. Now it's you guys. And perhaps maybe next you're going for looking for 100% bachelor's pass. That's what we're trying to aim, you know. But alhamdulillah, you know, knowing that, you know, if you know exactly where Asylum, I mean, when you drive into Asylum and those roads, they're going down the hill, then up the hill again, you start thinking, okay, where am I going? And like, why this is in such a place? But when you go there, when you get to meet the people and you see the learners, you just fall in love with it, you know. Yeah. So that's I have for that particular question, Sheikh.
Yes, I tell you, Sheikh Abu Bakr in Tenje, when I used to come there, I mean, that was a long, long time ago, being a DSAS editor, and he wanted me to go and motivate them in media and a few other things. And I know that trip, when you saw Asylum and you said, oh, now the long and winding road ending up. And up and up, right? You came back to the top. And then I used to finish my lessons, and it was only a 1 hour lesson, but I enjoyed the squash game. You know, I don't know if you still have the squash course. I used to play, I made sure that I played an hour of squash after my lecture, and then I took a long trip back to the South Coast and then back into Durban. But it was and you know, the atmosphere there, as you said, it's a very rural area, but it's a very peaceful area. And maybe 90% of your students are coming from that area. I think it's Brema, if I'm not mistaken. And all of them that come through, most of them are Christians. But eventually, as you said, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by your behavior and the behavior of the other educators and the ethos of the institute, many of them become Muslims. Some of the success stories that you can share with us, you know, perhaps people that have graduated from Asylum, what have they achieved and what have they become, Sheikh Abu Bakr Nkenji?
One of the success stories that I'll share with you, there was a student called Gugulethu Mbutu. What he did is he came to do skills. He was a non-Muslim, right? He came to do skills. And so when he came, the first day he was doing skills in the Coastal College. And they were used to have camps and used to invite them for a camp. Then after that, he said, you know what, I want to accept Islam. So we were very happy that alhamdulillah, mashallah, a brother has accepted Islam. Then after that, he told that I want to leave skills training. I don't want to do skills anymore. I want to do Islamic studies full time. We said, oh, okay. Then we said, are your parents okay with that? No, I'm an adult. I don't need permission from my parents. I've made up my mind. So he quit skills. I think he was doing office administration in the college. So when he did that, he came and did the Islam leadership program, more or less our like imamat program. And while he was doing that, we enrolled him to do education at UNISA. So he qualified at UNISA, he's a qualified teacher. He's one of our English teachers, right? Last year he had 100% pass for English. And we're talking about English home language, not English special digital language. It's home language in the rural areas of Masakin. And this year again, he had also another 100% pass in English. Also, that particular student. And also what he has done is when he went back home, the following year, he brought his brother to do to study at As-Salaam. And also his brother came, he did schooling at As-Salaam, and he also went for Umrah, you know. He also went for Umrah about 2 years back or so. And his entire family, all his brothers and sisters, they all came to As-Salaam, and alhamdulillah, all of them, they took Shahada. So these are some of the success stories. And also one of the success stories that I have to share with you, there was a particular learner, he's from around here. It just that it happened before we had our matric classes, because we used to finish in grade 9. But what happened is we kept on supporting him while he was doing his grade FET level at other schools. So now what happened is when he got his matric results where he was studying, he came to my house, the church. I was doing matric, you know that, and I wrote to a medical school to study medicine, and they told me if I passed, I must submit my results, and then after that, he submitted his results, and they gave him an offer to study at the UKZN medical school, and you need to go there and accept the offer. Then I asked him, what do you need? You know, I need transport. Don't waste your time. Quickly organized transport for him. He went and accepted the offer. Then he came back to me at the HR. I've accepted the offer, so I'm now a student now, so I need the registration fee. So he mentioned the figure, and immediately I phoned the As-Salaam committee, you know what, you know, this particular student, he needs so much of money, and he needs it like now. And immediately the money was raised. And it was medical school after that Nestor took over. So, and it was paid. And just 2 months back, he just called me, Sheikh, I've completed everything now. I'm doing my community service now, is becoming a doctor. And inshallah, when I get time, I'll come to As-Salaam, also try to motivate other students to also to follow his footsteps. So these are some of the things that, you know, when you have an educator coming to you and telling you that, you know, that thank you so much, you were there for me. I had no hope, and there was no one else who was going to assist me. But when I came to you, your doors are always open, and As-Salaam. And that particular learner, his mother passed away some couple of years ago, and his father died, I think, when he was still very young. So As-Salaam was only his hope. It was only his hope. So we opened the doors for him and we assisted him. And today he's a qualified doctor. He's doing community service.
I tell you, Sheikh Abu Bakr Intenje, you know, fascinating listening to you. Unfortunately, we have run out of time. You know, beautiful evening with you. Your parting words, next 20 seconds.
What I just want to say to the Muslim community, that, you know what, you may not see what's happening, but your system is doing a lot in this community. You know, a lot of people have been helped. A lot of people, the Muslim community has changed lives. You can never compare anybody to what the Muslim community are doing in this country. They've done a lot, and may Allah accept their contributions, their assistance, their support, and they keep on doing the good work. I mean, so.
Jazakallah, Sheikh Abu Bakr Intenje. Keep up the good work. We'll talk to you in the near future. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran.
Yes, sir, people, there's a lovely, successful story there. Yes, sir, on the top 10, 6 of the top 10 schools are Muslim schools. Well done, Muslims. Allah keep us there, and may we lead in all fields, and may we lead people, and our example bring people to the deen of Islam. Lucalo, brilliant engineering this evening. Thank you very much for that. Keep it locked on to Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, for beautiful programming. Next up will be Anwar Al-Awlaki series, continuing from the TV and I. Till we meet you again, we bid you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.